Framing an 8-year-old?
Tamper?
Ick.
Friend request.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with...
Sam.
Jill.
Brandon.
And we're back.
Something did happen in the last 2 hours where it feels like we've been here for 4 days.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know what transpired. If you watch
retreat
the episode from last week and this episode, it may seem like we've been here for weeks.
This is all the same day.
Same day.
Well,
but somehow our energy has been
and
saturated.
It's day one. Like, let's think about that. It's day one.
And we were so high in that episode, and I don't know what's happening right
I'm
now.
Chill. I'm really chill right now.
You took a nap.
Look, I was calling out Aubrey. I was like, dude, she's out here having the time of her life. And then I went and sat like on the couch next to her.
He even slept in the same spot that she was at.
And I was like,
trying to get that full nap. He's trying to steal it from her.
And she woke up refreshed. I woke up refreshed. That was like a good nap. I would take another one, but I was like happy about it.
I'm jelly. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
My eyes are.
So one thing that people ask us that we do is to explain the relationship of the guests.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, who is Jill? You know what I'm saying?
How do we know her?
So some people were like, we want to know more about the guests that you bring in. So
how did you get here? Because I don't know if I know you.
I have a cousin named Joe. Joe happens to look exactly like Brandon. And they are besties.
Guilty as well.
So Brandon's automatically my cousin now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Honorary cousins. Cousins,
ain't that y'all's name?
So that's Jill.
I did not like that.
You know, if Sam wasn't on the soundboard, I think he'd be getting applause right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he made sure to put that back on.
But I met a lot of people through Joe and Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm everybody's bestie.
Mm-hmm. So that's Jill. Jill's also a doctor.
Yes.
We talked about that a little bit.
She is a doctor.
Dr. Jill.
Yep.
Period.
I'm going to need Sam to put a little bit more respect on that doctor, though. He said, yeah, she is a doctor.
No, I was like, she's a doctor. Like,
no, it was like she is a doctor.
She's a doctor or whatever.
Jill's a doctor. Dr. Jill.
I feel like that's how I treat it.
So because
I'd be like, oh, yeah, I do have a doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like,
well, because if we're just talking about like
a doctorate.
How Jill got to be on the show, yes, Brandon is the main impetus for it.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about the relationship of everybody on the show, I would say not all of our relationships are like necessarily the most positive. Like,
oh yeah, me and Sam,
our levels, me and Jill's relationship level would be strange.
But whose fault is that though? Because I feel like the only reason why I'm gonna just say the only reason why your guys' Sims level is low is because like Jill's always felt this, and I'm gonna speak for Jill. Mm-hmm. Tell me if I'm wrong. Jill's always felt this animosity from you, where she's like, "Bro, what's your problem?" So she's gonna push back.
The first time you have this sort of
antagonizing
feeling towards her.
The first time I met Jill, I was like happy because Brandon's like, hey, I want you to meet my friend. Jill, she's really cool. I'm like, so I'm happy and excited. And like the look that she gave me from the get-go, I was like,
immediate lie.
That's what we're on. Right? That's what I felt like she was on something from the beginning.
From the beginning.
And I was only meeting with love and joy. And
no, it was like day two that you were in there. You walked in and you were like, Brandon, Steph. Jill.
It was the difference
because of
the tone.
What happened on day one. I was just matching the energy that was provided to me on day one.
All I have to say is Sam can't forgive and forget. Jill has come in nonstop with positive energy where it's like you can easily like change that energy back.
I could.
But now it's like you guys are both beefing, but you guys like
it. Even last night when she opened my door and let...
Okay, that was a little crazy.
So many flies in
that the happened, actually.
It's like she keeps doing things to maintain this energy.
I would have, your door would not have been open that long if Brandon wasn't trying to act like an intruder.
Which
push
was
on the door. I was trying to save our lives.
Which I told Brandon, I've never felt more safe than with Jill and Joe. Jill had that door unlocked and Joe had a weapon.
It was like, so great because it was like, I literally jiggled the knob and then I just filled the door and go, boo, and I said, okay.
Would you, if you saw Jill's face, she's like, she was like, I'm going to protect you. But she was like, what's happening? And we were afraid.
In that moment, I knew, like, if I let this door handle go, somebody's about to come in here.
And it ain't gonna be easy. And
I ain't got time to die today. No.
So how did you end up letting it go for Brandon to be? Did he say something? Did you hear him?
No, he walked off.
I laughed.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't hear the laugh.
Because she opened the
door. But I opened the door back up and you were on the side.
Yeah. 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 I like laughed really loud. So I was like, hey, it's just a joke.
No, because I said, it's something out there. Somebody out there. And somebody was like, ain't nothing out there. And I was like, okay, let's open the door then.
I was far on the other side of the room.
Exactly.
I didn't want to be close to the door.
He's like, this is my room. And yeah, they got
I'm not in this. Intruder, I'm not in this. Whatever you want to do.
No, there'll be so much discourse of me tampering over the door. Like this next story.
Hey-o. All I have to know, all I know is that Sam locked that door so quick when everyone left. He's like, thank you.
It was locked. It was extremely locked.
I think actually you helped give Sam anxiety last night because he ended up saying he locked his inside door too.
I did lock the inside door.
So he doesn't even trust the people in this house, aka you.
Which I did feel weird doing it. I was like, these are literally your friends and family. And I was like, but I did it.
Okay, so this first story is, am I the asshole for breaking up with my ex-boyfriend because he tried to tamper with my birth control?
No.
No.
Yeah, you can't do that.
That's not a good thing to
that's
do.
That's something you can't do.
I-23 female broke up with my boyfriend of almost 2 years, Todd, 26 male, on Sunday, 2 days ago. I broke up with him because, as the title suggested, he tried to mess with my birth control. I told Todd that I intended to be child-free until I obtained my PhD and get a position with tenure at a university. I told him I was on birth control and I had no intention of getting off of it and that it would be better if we doubled up with condoms, and he said okay. 2 days ago, we were chilling in my apartment and I told him I was going to take a bath and listen to one of my audiobooks. I heard the microwave go off and I thought that Todd was making mac and cheese or something. I hopped into the tub and was about to start when I remembered I have a bath bomb that I was gifted at my friend's baby shower. I got out of the tub to get it from my room and I found Todd messing with the pill packet I keep next to my bed. I have a missing gallbladder after several attacks and I have to take prescription laxatives sometimes to be able to control my poop. The package looks similar, and by similar I mean almost the exact same to a birth control packet, including the silver foil and the color of the pills. I asked him what he was doing and for him to hand me my pills. The package was warm. I asked him what the hell he was doing with my pills, and he broke down about how he's successful in his job and I should want to have a family with him after 2 years. I told him to get out of my apartment, and before I slammed the door on him, let him know that I have an arm implant birth control and that he microwaved my shit pills. I blocked his number, but he's been contacting me through my university email and is refusing to take no for an answer when he apologizes. His mom's been texting me, as well as some of his friends and his sisters, telling me I'm juvenile for breaking up with him when I knew he wouldn't have been successful in tampering with my birth control because I wasn't on the pill anyway. I feel so angry and violated, but they're right, nothing would have happened. I'm starting to think I overreacted. Am I the asshole?
No,
immediately no.
Just because he's dumb and didn't do it right doesn't mean he didn't intend to do it.
Exactly.
He just wasn't successful.
Yeah, he's just stupid.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's going to be cut out, but earlier before the story, we were basically talking, we were trying to figure out, we knew it was wrong, but we were trying to figure out what the word was for it. But I think it's like something to do with like consent, right? Because you're kind of taking away like their choice, I feel like, because... Yeah. If they're saying, I'm not trying to get pregnant, then you're like taking away that choice. I still don't know what it's called. I feel like there's a name for it. Like, I mean, how wrong this is.
It's definitely consent to be pregnant, yeah, for sure. Like, I did not consent to be.
Like, well, you're taking away their choice to not do that.
I don't
that.
Know what consent to be pregnant is, because you can not want to get pregnant and get pregnant.
Yeah.
But if your intention in your mind, I don't know.
I'm like saying, I feel like I'm saying the wrong words, but basically... obviously this is just like wrong.
It's wrong, yeah.
And she was totally right to break up with him for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate how the family's trying to make it seem like she's overreacting.
That's what right. I was saying.
Like, they're like, it wouldn't
what if
have
she
anything?
Really
like,
was on the pill?
Yeah.
It's like,
where did he learn this microwave thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, how did he not mess up the microwave with the foil? Yeah.
He's heating up plates.
Didn't it have sparked?
True. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was he not afraid for his life?
Right.
He's like, no, I want a kid.
I want a kid. This is bad. I'm going to blow up the house.
It's definitely selfish, too, because he was like, I'm ready. So you should
yes.
be ready.
And
it's
pregnancy
like, no.
is so hard on women.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And like, you don't get to make that choice for her.
And who's even going to say that, you know, because, you know, it's, I feel like it's something into like kind of see in society where women being are like mainly the main child care provider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is he planning on taking care of the kid more than, oh my God, I saw that little crack in the wall and it looked like a big spider.
Oh,
yeah,
I saw that
it
earlier.
Got me earlier.
Sorry, that scared me.
We've all had it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, is he really planning on taking care of the kid more than her? Or is it just very much like, well, you can take care. Like, it's like, I don't know, making all these decisions for her, whether she wants to do it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really frustrating. And I think it's good that he got kicked out because she doesn't want to be with somebody who doesn't listen to her and respect what she says.
Period.
And it's funny, maturity levels being brought up. I'm like, he's immature that he didn't just speak with her and say, I want to have children. Can mm-hmm. we have a mature discussion on whether we can start doing that or not? I'm just going to microwave your pills and trick you into it?
It's so many levels. Like, I always say this, reading is fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
How did he not read the pill package to see that it said laxatives and not birth conception or something like that?
I don't know. The only thing I'm thinking is like maybe it was out of the package and it was just plainly just the foil looking thing with the colored pills.
Okay.
Or maybe he thought it said baby.
That's giving him the benefit of the doubt.
And it makes babies come out easier.
Oh
like
my God.
Make poop come out easier. Baby laxatives make babies.
Baby laxatives is insane.
Don't applaud yourself.
No. Matter of fact, take the buttons from him.
The buttons are in my control right now.
Buttons are for Sam
so
today.
So happens, happens.
I don't
That's
know,
a good
Sam.
Take and we just get booed for it.
Yeah, they're like, it was good.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just kind of gave me the ick, though. Like this next story.
She's over it. Ick like this next story.
I feel like ick kind of ensues that. Like, you need to be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Ick.
Am I the asshole for telling my girlfriend that she gave me the ick at a family dinner? Man, I think I'd be pretty disappointed if Brandon told me that he got the ick from me. I'd be like, what did I do? You know? For you to get the ick about me. That would be tough.
I think that is kind of maybe a valid question. Like, if you do get the ick, should you tell the person or do you just like internalize that and just like,
I feel like if you want to be them, if you want to be with them, you'd be like, hey, we got to like, you know, brush our teeth maybe before we kiss.
Well, that's a different, I think that should absolutely be talked about. But if you're like, you were like, socks with sandals or something at the like, dinner table.
Okay, he's told me about stuff like that before. He's like, don't wear Crocs with jeans around me.
For real?
He says it in a nicer way, but he's serious. He was like, Crocs and jeans
combo.
Don't look good. And he's like, I don't want to, I
do agree with that.
He was like, don't go out wearing Crocs and jeans. I was like, it's kind of a look, right? He's like, no.
You're like, I'm kind of stylish, right? He's like, mm-mm.
He's like, they're so ugly. They don't go with jeans. Please stop wearing them around me with jeans.
I can't believe even considered.
Yeah, it's like, actually,
Sam's like, I'm getting the egg for my friend.
It's not that she considered it. It was like, I remember the first day I saw it. We were at school and I was like, no.
As a person who loves Crocs, I cannot get behind even attempting
that. I'm sorry. I mean, I love comfort over most things.
That's true, but
I will be more, I'd be comfortable over style.
It is a crazy combination.
Am I the asshole for telling my girlfriend that she gave me the ick at a family dinner? I'm 32 male, dating my girlfriend Jenny, 27 female, for almost a year. We've met each other's families. Jenny is an only child of an Asian family, while I'm half-half with a younger sister, Anna, 21 female. Anna and I are close despite our age gap. Our parents both worked demanding jobs, and I would babysit slash chaperone for many of her bratty teen years. In recent years, I noticed that whenever Anna comes up in conversation, Jenny would joke about how Anna is overly spoiled by my parents and I, and how we created a princess. Last week at a family dinner with my parents, I felt like Jenny was over-grilling Anna on school slash dating slash life. At one point, Anna was telling a story about how a first date gave her the ick by not pulling out his wallet after their meal and let her foot the full meal. Jenny laughed and said that not every man will treat her to dinner like her brother would, and that you need to lower your standards. I wasn't happy with this comment, as it sounded like my sister didn't deserve to be treated with basic respect, but also didn't want to embarrass Jenny. Jenny then went on to talk about how that would have never happened to her, as men see her as high value. I don't know what about this comment that just pissed me off, but I said that she was giving me the ick and to stop talking to my sister like that. The argument we had when we got home was massive, and Jenny told me that I was overreacting to an innocuous comment and would make a terrible father because I would always favor my sister over everyone else. I'm shocked at being called a terrible father, and honestly, I still don't think I was wrong, but I need another opinion. Am I the asshole? She gave me the ick too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone saying high value, men or women, I'm against.
High value, females, when men say females and like genuinely mean it. I mean, maybe if it was like an accident, but I'm like, just say like women. Like usually I'm like, ooh, red flag. But definitely like high value is like an even bigger flag where I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But even just like the basic understanding of like, I get to bash my siblings, you don't get to bash my siblings. And you're like kind of like, it's not even like just like a joke. It's kind of like a mean joke too. Like you don't, like he said, you don't deserve this basic level and you need to like kind of be like brought down to reality.
Was she joking though?
I don't think she was.
It didn't seem like a joke. It seemed like she was genuinely saying that.
Well, I guess I was saying though, like if you're like, if joking with my siblings or you're like joking with me about something, it could be funny. And there's like maybe like a blurred line there. But for the most part, like, it's not really cool to be talking about your like significant other siblings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like most people know that where it's like, you can genuinely be like, hey, I have a problem with your brother or something. Like, I'm just sorry. He just, he really bothers me or whatever. And like tell why, but not being like, yeah, your sister kind of thinks she's all that. And like being genuine about it. Like, okay, what do you want me to do about that?
She sounds jealous of the sister.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people were saying in the comments. Yeah.
Because initially I was going to say, oh no, she's not tripping that bad. Because, you know, if she's telling her, oh, you know, every guy's not going to do that. But then when she said, what was it? Oh, dang.
Wait, you might want to bring your mic closer.
It left my head that fast. Never mind.
You're trying to figure out what she said?
Yeah, after she said every guy is not going to pay for you or something. Oh, the lawyer standards part.
You need a lawyer standards.
When she said that, that kind of gave me the ick. That's like when the ick started forming for her, and then it just built up the more and more.
Right.
Like, oh girl, you're a terrible person.
Because who are you to say lawyer standards to anybody?
Yeah.
But especially the sibling. I think that is, I think now you're right. Like, that's such an important part.
Mm-hmm.
There is like unwritten rules about the siblings of your partners. So you're just like, I kind of treat them nicer.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do make fun of someone, I'm usually making fun of my partner, like ganging up with the siblings.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it's never against the sibling. So that is very weird. Unless we're tight and we've been together for a long time, am I ever going to consider making fun of or teasing the...
And it's way light harder than what she said.
Yeah, super
light. Never that. And if it is, like, it's like, again, it's like, hey, I'm like, this is an issue that I have with your brother, but that's it in private. That's not to them.
Yeah.
And then you guys figure out like, okay, well, what does that mean? And like, okay, you know, like go forward from there. But yeah, so people were agreeing with Jill. Somebody said with 21,000 upvotes, not the asshole. It's like she's trying to compete with your sister. I'd have already gotten rid of her. And then OP responded, I had this thought before too, but I was too weirded out by it. So he kind of just brushed it off because he's like, that's weird.
I think people always go to like sexually, but I do think people compete with people's siblings. They see the connection and the closeness that you have with a sibling, and they're jealous of the closeness. Mm-hmm. Not even that, like, they think their sister and them are getting together. It's like, I don't like how close you are, and I want to be the number one woman in your life, and I might feel like she's above me.
You're like, yeah. He's giving you a lot of attention here. Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh my God, 30 minutes in.
Chop chop. Okay. Oh, wow. Jim, I don't even know how to do it.
Were you watching the whole time? And being
I was like,
so geared to
chop, chop.
Chop chop.
Chop chop, Jim.
I thought when you Jim. Took your headphones off, you were
playing. I got it.
I got bamboozled because I looked at the list. I was like, we did not go through all those stories. I know we did it. And I look, I was like, yeah, no, we definitely did
because we got that special guest, right? Pitbull.
Like this next story.
Good thing I didn't respond.
Mr. 305. I wanted you to respond.
Wow. I'm just staring at you.
I want you to feel like what it would feel like to respond and get transitioned on.
You okay. have to be smooth about it.
Yeah.
I thought it was good though because I didn't have anything. So this one is a serious one. It is trigger warning for animal bites, I would say. She says his niece, but her husband. I had to protect his niece from a pit bull, and my husband ran off. I have been ignoring him. Is this something that I should be forgiving him for?
This is good.
Ooh. I feel like I need more detail.
It like comes into like, there's like the whole thing like, be a man, right? Like you have to be a man, you have to protect. You're like, do I?
Yeah.
Like, I'm scared.
Yeah. Like, what if he has some type of like trauma from his childhood dealing with dogs and he's just not good with dogs?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, again, trigger warning, animal attack. I had to protect his niece from a pit bull and my husband ran off. I've been ignoring him. Is this something that I should be forgiving him for? I'm going to start with this. I'm still a bit traumatized and I'll be finding someone to talk to. And a friend's made this account for me because I'm not a frequenter. Don't know if the pit bull made it. I haven't asked. My husband and his niece and nephew and I were in our backyard. I'm going to assume our gate was open. I can't remember. The pit bull came out of nowhere and latched on to his niece, five female. Niece screamed. I turned and kicked it with all the force I could manage, and I was lucky enough to hit it in the jaw somewhere that made its jaw dislodge. My husband, who had been a few feet away, shouted something along the lines of, "Whose dog is this?" I told him to get our bear spray from the house. I was in a panic. I'm an animal lover, but it was so insane. The pit bull seemed almost rabid. I don't think it was in hindsight. It wasn't foaming at the mouth. It was just crazed. My husband ran, but not towards the house. He literally ran out of the fence gate and shut it behind him. Not towards his niece or nephew, who was also present in the outdoor bassinet that I managed to all but toss into the picnic table to make sure it was out of the dog's reach while holding his niece off my shoulder. I put her on the barbecue to keep her out of reach, but the dog was literally jumping and snapping, and I was worried that if I tried to carry her, I'm sure it would have managed to grab her out of my hands. It chased me when I ran for the shovel, but then I swung at it until it stopped. I don't think I will ever forget the sound or the feeling. It was so high stress, I didn't even realize that it had bit me twice. I haven't spoken to him for a week, and even though we live in the same house, I didn't ask where he went. He only came back a few minutes later to pack us into the car and drive us to the hospital. He's getting angry that I'm giving him the silent treatment, but I feel like it's his fault that I had to possibly end that animal. If he had gotten the bear spray, I literally keep it in my purse for if I'm ever attacked by an animal or otherwise, then I don't think I would have needed to do what I did. It was literally just inside the door, and he knows where I keep it. Instead, he literally took off to God knows where. Me and two children that I'm not even related to could have died. It might not be relevant, but I don't even like kids. I am staunchly child-free, and he is the one that offered us to babysit for the weekend.
I don't know if this is grounds for divorce. I'm not sure if I could even look at him. Any attraction I had to him is pretty much gone. He tried to touch me yesterday just to move me so he could pass, and I smacked his hand away without even thinking about it, like he was just some stranger at a bar, because it was literally just jarring.
He's just skulking around trying to talk to me and then getting frustrated and then skulking more. I wasn't expecting him to be macho and fistfight the freaking dog, but at least follow instruction. At least not leave me in a life and death situation with a toddler and an infant. Should I be able to chalk this up to a moment of panic? I don't even know if I want to hear him out.
Not the asshole. But I do think that they should have a conversation about it. Just to figure things out a little bit. But he is wrong for leaving them.
Yeah. This is like one of those tough things. It's like when a dad's, they're like, someone's like, fire. And then the dad pushes the daughter to the ground or pushes behind her to get to the door faster. And it's like a moment of panic. You do it quickly. And you're like, oh, I was afraid I did this thing. And you might feel, you might regret it, you might feel bad, but it's not going to change how that person saw it. You're like, oh, that's your truth. That's how you really think.
Yes.
You're going, this is what you're going to do immediately if something happens. So I can see his point of view where he's like, he panicked and he did this thing. But now you cannot see anything other than that. And even if nothing like that happens for the rest of your lives, in the back of your head, you're like, this man's in it for himself when things get rough. And you might not be able to, your relationship might not be able to recover from that. And it's not like fair either way. It's like, this is just it. Like, your relationship could be colored by this instance.
Then it took him forever to come back. Like, she had time to move the kids and get the shovel to put the dog down. And then that's traumatizing for her to have to
Right. dog?
The dog like that. Like,
I've never experienced, like, so the closest thing that I have to this is, like, dog fights. There was a point in time where, like, my uncle's dog and my dog were, like, staying at the house, and one's, like, a big clunky Labrador.
Don't call him clunky.
Because he's, like, clumsy or whatever.
No, he's strong and buff.
Yeah, I know. That's a problem. And then Husker's a little terrier. So one has an ego problem, and one is a puppy that doesn't, that's really never been, like,
doesn't know his
disciplined
own strength.
Ever. And doesn't know his strength. And so there would be times where he's, you know, backing up or running into Husker, my dog, the small terrier. And they would get in fights a lot. Like, it was basically a period of time where we took my uncle's dog in. And it would be, like, almost daily. Like, you can't leave them alone together because his dog would really want to play. And my dog, who's older, does not want to play with him. It's very much like, I don't want to play with you. And then also he's like, the size difference. I feel like my dog was always like, oh, this is a fight. Cause like, you're too big. Like, he's never been really around other dogs to be like, this is a threat. This isn't fun. And so they would get in fights a lot. And I remember, like, every single time they would get in fights, like, I would always try and separate. And I'm not saying my dog, he didn't start stuff, because he did.
We know, if you've met Husker, you know he started over 50% of those fights.
I would say 50-50.
You think it was 50? I think it's probably 75-25.
Because part of them were Baxter being clumsy, or Baxter being like, oh, let me play with Husker like a little chew toy. Or the other ones were Husker being like, bitch. And then, like, they would get in fights a lot. And there was one point where every single time it was always traumatic. I never felt comfortable. There would be times where, like, even if, like Baxter got really excited, the Labrador, I would get so nervous because I'm like, I need, like, I could feel, like, the adrenaline coming to my body where I'm like, I need to know where the dogs are at. And I can't be hyper at all, because if I hype up Baxter, then he's going to unintentionally hurt Husker. And then Husker's going to attack him. And then Baxter's going to fight back and potentially kill Husker. And so one of the last times it happened, Baxter backed into Husker, and Husker attacked Baxter, and Baxter attacked Husker to the point where Husker was bleeding and he had to go to the vet's office. And we didn't know if he was going to live. And so my mom, you know, was like, he can't be here anymore. And it's not even like we necessarily were trying to get another dog. It was just my uncle needed somebody to take care of his dog. But at that point, mom was like, we can't take care of him.
Right.
He needs to go. And I remember just living through that trauma of separating dogs because I got bit by Husker too.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine a pit bull, like a bigger sized dog. I'm not saying this necessarily anything about bad about pit bulls specifically, but a small terrier biting you and it hurting and almost piercing compared to a bigger dog biting you and piercing. Right. So the fact that she got bit twice and she had to do what she had to do where she was protecting herself because the dog was attacking them.
Right.
That's like a whole nother aspect. So I can't even imagine the trauma that she had to deal with of dealing with this dog by herself, protecting two, you know, little people, little kids, and then realizing that it's just, if she doesn't self-preserve herself, who knows what could happen.
Right.
And she had somebody who could have helped her, but he literally locked her inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was my thing. When he ran, closing the door after you.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Like, I can understand running away.
And like beckoning him, like, come.
Come back. Yeah. And then he comes back. Yeah. And you're like, okay.
But it's like you ran, closed the door, left them to dry.
And looked over the thing. Like,
that's, I understand what Sam was saying earlier with the whole panic thing, but that was methodical. After a certain point, you thought about it. You had to. Because there's no way you panic and like, oh, I ran, closed the door, and just walked away. Well, you could panic.
You're like, I need to separate myself from the danger.
I don't.
So shutting the door, it separates me from it. I'm not saying it's good that he did it. I'm just saying you're like, that fight or flight thing, you're like, I need to get away from it. I'll do anything to get away from it.
Yeah, that should be your initial reaction. Yeah. But then when reality sets back in, he should come back immediately.
It should be like a couple minutes is crazy decision. Because I remember there was one time me and my sister were getting chased by a dog. And my initial reaction.
Not the laugh, not funny.
Yeah, it was because I don't think that dog was going to do anything. I'm faster than my sister. So my initial reaction, I dart. I get to like right there and I realize, oh, Lisa's not as fast as me, but I can't pick her up. So I literally, by the time it took me to get there and back, like the dog wasn't closing distance because I was running that fast. I literally had to like drag Lisa. She's like, I can't keep up. And I was like, I don't care. I basically was just strong arming it, just running. And I got her into the house and then, yeah. But it's like, even that, like from the time it took me to get there to there was my, it's not just me.
Yeah.
It's someone else too. And so then I go back. That's like what? If realistically, if I'm running, that's like 0.2 seconds. And then I come back. Like you ran and closed the door.
You closed the door. You ran to the car, came around. Because I think she did end up saying it felt like. It was probably like a few minutes.
She said a few minutes, which that's the crazy part to me.
Because so much could happen in that time frame.
Because what was he doing for those few minutes? That's what I want to know.
Sitting in the car like last week.
Oh, God. Like last week.
He's like, 10 minutes. Like, no, this is not the time. You've already been home. He's like, no, I got to go back in the car for 10 minutes.
What do you guys think about the fact that she's kind of, in a way, giving him the silent treatment?
She doesn't know what to say. I feel like if she talks to him, she's going to say some bad things. And this is probably the safer route.
It's the safer route, but you can't go for it for too long.
Yeah.
Eventually, you have to say something.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if he's not going to bring it up, you're just going to keep doing the silent treatment. Then the relationship is going to do whatever it's going to do during that time and space. Unfortunately, I feel like she has to be the bigger person in a sense.
Well, I think, yeah, she definitely has to bring it up because she said he's skulking around, like trying to apologize. Was he trying to apologize or what was he doing?
If he was trying to apologize, he was trying to talk.
She wasn't, she didn't want to talk to him yet.
But he's probably embarrassed. He's like,
and then he would skulk more. And,
when you know you're in the wrong and you're trying to have a conversation with someone, that's like the most uncomfortable thing to do.
Yeah, I guess in a way, if he was just trying to do like small talking or like at least trying to fill the waters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because usually I feel like I don't condone silent treatment, but I feel like she's in like such a traumatic experience where it's just like, where I feel like maybe she's just done with him and she doesn't know what to do.
That's what I feel. That's what I'm like, this is hard to come back from.
So I don't even,
I still remember an instance where I was with a girl. We were walking around the park and this dude drives up in the car and he goes like, hey, she got a fat booty. And I was like, man, get out of here. He's like, yeah, she got a really fat booty. And she was like clearly feeling uncomfortable. And I'm like, let's just keep going. Let's keep going. And we walk. But for the whole time, I'm like, I should have did more than that. Mm. Like, that's such a light incident, but I'm like, I should have, like...
Crashed out.
Yeah, 100%. And I still don't know to this day because I asked her afterwards. She's like, yeah, it was fine. But I'm like, I don't think it was fine.
Yeah.
I think that you wanted me to do more, and I didn't. And I thought about it. And so I'm like, this could, like... I don't think it got to the point where... Well, I mean, we're not together now, but I'm like, it didn't get to the point where, like, oh, she might break up with me, but... I think about like that for this instance, I'm like, your relationship's over. It's just, there's nothing you can do to recover from this. Like, really?
The other thing too, is it's like, it's not even her family. It's his family.
Yeah. She,
if my niece was about to get attacked by a dog, I mean, I would do it for my own dog. I tried to step in between. Again, I don't know if I reiterated. Husker is alive. They're all both okay. I don't know if I reiterated that in my own story because I just said they sent him to the vet. Husker's totally
plus
okay.
Plus, Husker did the smirk when Baxter left.
Husker, like, Husker flipped him off with the claw.
Sucks to suck, Baxter.
No, he's just, like, got, like, the neck brace on. He was like, get out of here. Yeah.
And then he slowly takes it off and he looks at only Baxter sees it. He's like, it's
he did get bit though.
He puts it back on.
I will say that was the reason why my mom was like, "Nah, he's got to go."
No, because
he
was awful.
He was actually hurt
because he was a very strong dog.
He was.
Enjoy the streets is crazy.
But Husker
enjoy the streets. I just caught that.
Husker has that energy though.
Husker does. I love him. I miss him. It's only day one. I'm like, where's Husker at, bro?
Even though the energy he was giving to you when we left?
He gives that all the time. He's like, he's very much like, oh, you're leaving. Like, I'm not going to give you kisses anymore. But I know when I see him, he's going to give me a ton of kisses.
My boy was like,
he was not Husker. Doing anything. He's like,
I don't care if you're leaving.
He cared.
And I'm like, you definitely care if you're doing this actively. That
he cared so much. I would never leave my niece. I didn't even leave my dog in between like a big fight like that. Like I would totally grab my niece. And if there's a baby, I'm like, pick the baby up. I'm not running away to leave the baby with a freaking dog.
A like, crazed dog.
If we're not both going for the baby, then I'm like, okay. But you know, like I would imagine we're both like, okay, we're good. We're okay. Let's get, you know, but, The fact that he ran away from his niece and nephew, locked his niece and nephew in the thing.
And wife.
And didn't and turn wife. Around.
Like, and she wasn't even expecting him to like push the dog. She was just, get the spray and spray the dog.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to do. You didn't even have to go in. Just go do that. And he was like,
and the fact that he knew where it was.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I guess, again, we don't necessarily know what was in his head during that day, but I totally get why she got the ick. Because now she has a traumatic experience from that.
Yeah.
It's probably going to take a long time for her to recover because she potentially had to end that animal's life.
Mm-hmm.
And she also was hurt by that. And then she also was like dealing with the fact that her partner
left her.
Left her. Thank you.
It's for dead.
And it's one thing too, because it's like you can have like everybody has a fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm.
Hers just happened to be the fight. It had to be. And his was flight. That's fine. Fly with people.
Yeah.
Fly with
people. Flight with people.
If you're not going to fight, but you are the only one, fly.
We all flight. We all fight.
Yeah. Or else somebody's going to get mad.
And it's like, she was straight up like, this is fight. Like, grab the spray. Yeah. We're about to take this dog out. She's ready to fight. She had the shovel. She was ready to go. Yeah,
or at least disengage the dog.
Yeah.
He was like, oh. It's like, all right, if you know you're the Flash, help out.
Yeah.
Pick up the baby.
On your way there, on your way outside, just grab a baby.
Good luck, everybody.
Literally grab the bassinet. Yeah, that's all we need.
Transport the baby out.
Okay, so there's an update.
Yeah, let's hear this update. It's over. They're divorced now.
Update. For everyone worried about my mental health, I did get through an app with my work yesterday because I decided I really need it and labeled it high priority. However, it felt like it was just a parliamentary meeting, and she wanted to get me to feel a little bit better and comfortable because I was visibly tensing up whenever I started talking about it, and she even noticed it through the video chat. Last night, also, I told my husband I needed space. I apologize that I don't have much more of an update on our relationship than that. I wasn't as nice as I wanted to be. He argued and didn't want to leave, but it's my house. I told him I just didn't want to look at him, that I couldn't look at him. He cried, and I hate that I felt apathetic towards it. I haven't slept well, so I'm not sure. I'm just overtired and still so shaken, though. I was also emotionally exhausted after the appointment, so that might have added to it. I got a few questions about his sister and her husband, so I thought I'd answer. They aren't speaking with him. I don't know when it happened. I was definitely out of it at the hospital while I was getting the stitches and everything. But I do think after I was done blubbering and trying to explain how something so terrible happened to their little girl under our watch, they apparently asked him where he was. I still haven't talked to him about where he went, so I don't know. However, it clearly didn't satisfy them. Her niece just got out of the hospital yesterday, so that really triggered everything, and a lot happened. I had sent flowers and a bear and this one toy thing she had been asking about. I didn't go to the hospital, though. I was scared her seeing me would make her nervous, but his sister and her husband sent me flowers, and it made me bawl again. I'm just feeling like a freaking mess, to be honest. The father sent me a long message that I haven't been able to get through, but it's the sweetest thing anyone ever sent me. He also sent me a $1,000 Visa gift card. I literally thought I was reading the amount wrong. They are good people, and I still feel terrible. I couldn't have done more for her. Everything's just replaying in my head. Anyway, I obviously haven't looked into filing yet, but I'm not against the idea of it, and it really did help me feel better about wanting a divorce over this. I know fight or flight can't be helped, but now I think I realize that it's okay to not want to be with someone who would leave you behind. I think I can say I'm a fighter, and I want a fighter with me. Maybe he'd be better off with a runner instead. Then at least he wouldn't be leaving someone behind. I don't know. It feels like I'm done, but I also just am a mess. So right now I'm just glad I have space. Thank you everyone for making me feel like I wasn't being ridiculous though. I think it always feels like it should be multiple issues that tear a marriage apart, unless it's infidelity or something. And it feels like I know he may not have meant to betray me, but he still did. Whatever his reasoning, not sure then when I'll be speaking to him, but I'll try to update then. And I don't think there's been an update since, so. But I might check when we edit.
Sam was right, though. He clocked it because he said.
Did you say that or did Sam say that?
I think both of you kind of said it.
No, I was going to say he said she's over the relationship and she just doesn't know it yet.
Oh, he said that.
Yeah. Yeah, and
he was a runner. He was a track star.
Yeah, I said that.
He gonna run away when it get hot. Okay, yeah, that's why I looked at you, because I was like, that's literally what you just said.
Yeah, that's what I said. But even I feel like there could be a combination. Like he just didn't do. He was the type of flight where you try to get yourself out of harm's way completely.
Yeah,
and that's probably he's. Forget everybody else. I'm out of here.
I'm gonna be alive.
I'm closing the distance between the danger and But I think we also often forget about the freeze people too. You know, fight, flight, or freeze.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, at least with a frozen person, if you like snap them back in, like yo, help. They'll do something.
And they're still there. So it's they're like, you're, at least they're still involved. He's
if
gone.
Anything, like freeze people like me, we're bait, you know, because the people can come towards me. You know, and I'm not moving until
the frozen one.
Until Opie's saying, move. I'm like, oh, right, you know. Yeah. This is, am I overreacting? I think my husband might be framing my 8-year-old son. I have an 8-year-old son who was in a terrible accident 3 years ago that landed him in a 2-week coma, required multiple surgeries on his cracked skull. He cracked his skull and in which he suffered from a traumatic brain injury. Miraculously, he walked away mostly aside from some severe scarring, blindness in one eye, and kind of a terrible short-term memory loss. While his memory has improved, he still forgets a lot. Not anything significant, but things like constantly forgetting things I asked him to do, not remembering what he ate for breakfast, things of those nature. The worst thing, though, is that he loses / misplaces everything. It can be quite frustrating, but I try to give him a lot of grace knowing his situation. A year and a half ago, he got an iPhone for Christmas, and within 3 months of it being lost, he swore up and down that he had it on our couch and that somebody had hid it from him. After questioning the one other kid in the house, I came to the conclusion that no one had hid it from him and that he must have lost it and just not remembered where it had been last, despite his confidence that he had it on the couch. For months, I would spend every free weekend tearing my house apart and deep cleaning in hopes that it would turn up, but it never did, so I gave up and considered it to be a loss. I blame myself because he clearly was not ready for that responsibility. About a year later, I ended up winning an iPad at work, and with my son being the only person in the house without a phone, the iPad unofficially became his. After about a month, you guessed it, he lost it again. He again swore up and down that somebody is messing with him and taking his things and hiding them. Again, I really just blame myself. About 3 months later, I was putting away some laundry and was tired of my husband's t-shirt drawer being a jumbled mess, so I pulled everything out to reorganize, and lo and behold, my iPad was sitting in the bottom of the drawer. I asked my husband about it, and he seemed really confused about it, about how it got in there, and insisted that he didn't put it in there. Knowing that my son struggles with impulsive behavior from his accident and ADHD, I just assumed my son put it in the drawer and possibly hid it from his brother and forgot about it. Which brings me to tonight. I just went out to my husband's car to look for something in his trunk, which took me a bit as it was a complete mess of papers, grocery bags, shoes, gym stuff, water bottles, coffee mugs, returns that never got returned, etc. And I was rummaging through the mess. I found my son's iPhone that had been missing for almost 2 years. This time, I know there is absolutely no chance that my son put it in there because he is rarely ever in his car and absolutely no one ever goes in the trunk except for my husband. Now it's 1 a.m. My husband is snoring away and I can't sleep, wondering if he was hiding these things on purpose and my son was right the whole time. But what would his motive be for doing this, or does he have just a terrible memory and not remember doing this? He can be forgetful, but this is a little much. For added context, my son is my husband's stepson, if it matters. I, of course, will talk to him in the morning about it, but I just can't think about it. What are your thoughts? Am I overreacting? And then there's an edit.
What is it? Reasonable probability.
She's not overreacting at all. TBIs are so unique cases.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to say, like, oh, I know for sure that I didn't misplace this item, it probably, like, did something to him that she didn't believe him also. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, oh, yeah, I can't think like I used to think.
Mm-hmm.
And now somebody's telling me I'm lying about what I'm telling the truth about.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to be the stepson, mm-hmm. it's like, is this man just being spiteful towards this kid and taking advantage of his brain injury?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some terrible people in the world.
Yeah, it's fishy. Like, it's weird.
My only thing is, if it is indeed him doing that, what would be the end goal for doing it? But I was thinking maybe it's like one of those things he could kind of hold it for a later date. Like, oh, well, you remember we tried to get him an iPhone and all this stuff.
But then it's one of those things, like, why would you do that? And, like, why wouldn't you communicate with your spouse about that? Like, oh, I don't think he needs this device right now. Let's just take it and put it to the side.
Because people are trash. People suck.
I think it wouldn't matter to me either way. It would be like, do I want to be with my husband or not?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I want to be with my husband, don't say you, there's no good thing that's going to come from you asking the husband. I think you ask him, he either denies it, and then now you're still going to be distrustful anyway, or he says whatever the weird thing is. I don't think there's anything good from trying to figure out why it was done, unless you don't want to be in the relationship, because I don't think there's any good thing that's going to come out of it.
Because either way, the trust has been
messed up. So I would like push this down if I wanted to still be
I think she should talk to him about it, though, for sure.
That's me. I'm like,
me personally, I couldn't. I don't, because in any disagreement, any argument, anything where it's like something bad, I always want to know the why, because at least it gives me some sort of closure.
Yeah.
But if me trying to push that down and never getting the why, it would literally bug. Like if I tried to push, it would bug me. Like it would literally stick with me.
Yeah.
So it's like I have to know the why. I literally have to. Yeah.
She should just sit down with him. Literally, like, these are the facts. The iPad was in your t-shirt drawer. The phone was inside of your trunk. Our kid, my kid, never goes into your vehicle or inside of your trunk. So you're the only one. You or me could have been the only ones to put the phone in the trunk.
It was you.
I didn't do it. Not pointing any fingers.
Oh, okay.
You did it.
Not pointing fingers, yeah. But I'm pointing two at you.
Yeah.
Not pointing fingers. You did it.
Like every single
thumb.
Not pointing fingers. You did it.
The thumbs of judgment.
Okay, so the edit is, it's now the next morning, but my husband left for the gym before I woke up, so I haven't had the chance to speak to him about it yet. I didn't expect this much engagement and have not had the chance to read everyone's comments, but based on a lot of what people are commenting / asking last night, maybe posting it would be helpful since I responded to a few commenters and maybe it got lost in the shuffle. Both times that I found the devices, they appeared to be completely unused. They were both dead, which is why Find My iPhone wouldn't work. Once I got the iPad on, search history, etc., was all that of my son's. The iPhone immediately had the alert on screen stating that it was a lost device and to call my number as I marked it as lost after it went missing. Additionally, I would be amazed if he knew the password to either of those devices. He doesn't monitor that sort of thing with any of the kids and wasn't involved in the setup of the devices or anything. He's pretty lax about that stuff. The following I'm adding, not because I'm defending him or making excuses, but because it will provide some additional context as to why I'm even posting about it, seeking outside opinions rather than just immediately knowing that he took the devices intentionally / maliciously. Both times the devices were lost, my husband never once got mad at my son for losing them. I never once got mad at him for losing them either. I even mentioned a couple times that I blame myself. My husband never got mad at me or made any comments about how my son wasn't ready for that responsibility. The only commentary that he had was, well, he knows if he lost it, then he doesn't get another one, right? This is the general expectation we gave to all of our kids. Take care of your phone. If you lose it or break it, that's it. Additionally, my husband is the one that bought him the phone and he continued to pay for the line all this time. He never canceled service. He also never likes to blame stuff on my son's injury and says things all the time along the lines of, even with his accident, he's smarter than most kids I've met, more athletic, etc. And I think I use it as a crutch too often and don't give my son enough credit for how far he has come. So it's not like he was blaming the lost devices on my son's traumatic brain injury. Last bit of info, some people commented how there is no way he could have forgotten the phone was in the trunk as men go in there all the time. This may be the case with most men, but it wasn't made clear enough. His trunk is a dumping grounds for the messes that accumulate in his car that he moves to the trunk and never deals with again. For example, one of the things I found in there was a framed photo of his kids that said Happy Father's Day 2023, so it's been there over a year. Also, I found the phone under a bunch of junk, so it's not like it was staring at him every time he opened the trunk. So, with all that being said, hopefully now it's more clear as to why I'm genuinely confused as to what the hell is his motive would be if he did take them intentionally / maliciously. What would he get out of it? Do you think that there is a chance that his ADHD is so bad that he took those for whatever reason and genuinely forgot? This is why I was wondering if I was overreacting. Thank you for all your comments, insight, and thoughts.
I don't think she's overreacting at all still. But given her take on everything, I think that it won't hurt for her to still talk about it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially see if cognitively there's something going on with him.
The husband?
Yeah. There could be something cognitively going on to where he did forget that he took both of those, because there's so many different like diagnoses and different medical emergency type things that could be going wrong with him. And it just doesn't seem like it to the naked eye because it's not physically there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't hurt to look into that aspect of it.
Mm. Yeah. Did the this go out?
No.
Mm-mm.
But I do agree, Joe, there could be something going on. It's probably good to have a conversation, but I'm like, if it happens a third time, then I'll say something. But right now, we're just going to move on. We got his stuff back.
Yeah, I'm still like with her where I'm confused as to like what the motive would be. I think I might be a little bit more believable towards my son at this point of like, okay, like you say that. I don't know what happened to it either, but I believe you. Like,
yeah.
Maybe that's where she can be like, okay, I trust you more. If she, again, is like questioning the husband and he's like, well, I don't know. Like, if it happens again, or because I feel like she's not, I feel like she should say something because it's going to be on your mind so much. And then the more you think about it, the more you think about, like, you might add details or you might think about things where it's like, what the heck? Why did you think about this overt thing when you could have just asked me? Like, that's not what it was.
Yeah, I guess so, what I'm saying, don't say anything. I'm saying, like, in the way, like, making it a thing, like, sitting down and saying, I found this, and this, you could be the only person to do it. I'm like, I would be like, hey, I found this crazy thing. I found this phone in your trunk. That's weird, right? See what he says from that. But I'm not going in there, like, making it a thing of... You hid the phone away.
A big scene about
it. Making a scene about it. Like, just saying, like, that's weird that the phone was in the trunk, right? Mm-hmm. And then what he says, we'll go from there. Because if he'll be like, that is weird, or whatever, and he says nothing, you're like, yeah, I don't know. That's when you push on that. I'm like, there's nothing that's going to really good come from whatever he says that you're pushing on him with.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you don't feel like this is, like, a nefarious thing that he's doing. You don't feel like there's a bad relationship with the stepson and him. Like, he seems to be good with the stepson. Then I'm like, if he doesn't know, if he doesn't give you a satisfactory response from it, this might be a thing that you was a mystery in your life.
But I also feel like taking that approach, I get what you're saying, just like don't make a scene about it, but I feel like taking that approach, you all also get rid of what you're feeling in a sense. So even if you feel uncomfortable by it, you being like, it's weird that we found this. Not like, I don't want to say passive aggressive, but it's like if you genuinely feel uncomfortable about it and you're like, I found this, but then you just try to brush it over. It's like you are not acknowledging the fact that you're like, this made me uncomfortable. I lost sleep about this. Why is this here? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. At least for me personally, I just wouldn't be able to do that just because I don't like to just brush over things. But that's just me. But I also wonder on another flip of the coin, what if you just give the kid the phone back? Would that be wrong to just give the kid the phone back?
I don't think so.
See what the reaction is.
Like if you just like, instead of just talking to the dad?
Yeah, instead of just talking, if you just give the kid the phone back.
I mean, I think you definitely should give the phone back.
Yeah, but like if you like don't.
But you don't talk to the dad at all.
Because then it's like if he gets upset that the phone's back, are we like just...
Yeah, if something like that, if he's like, where'd you get that from? Then that's weird.
Yeah.
But it's like, in a way, it kind of... If you wanted to take like a non-confrontational approach, but I don't know. I just feel like that's also icky too. Cause it's like you saw where
I think that's making a bigger deal too. Well, this is a situation where I'm like, I totally see your side. I think this is like a difference in like personality of how you respond. I think you're totally valid and be like, I could not sleep and I need to know what happened.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to the bottom. For me, I'm like, this is not a big enough thing for me to be like, I need to know what happened. Because I'm a person who I don't need to know everything.
Yeah.
Unless it does bother me. I'm like, there's just things that will not bother me. I'm like, I'm okay with things being mysteries.
I don't know. Too many mysteries for me. It makes, because then you just build on the foundation of mysteries. And it's like.
Which is good. It's spooky. It's fun. Who knows what's going to happen?
Spooky is fun. But then when you get a mystery, it's like, where's my keys to my car?
Yeah, there's a dog biting me and you're nowhere to be seen.
It's like, or oh, like, who sent me this friend request on Facebook? Like this next door.
What is going on with you? She was like,
it wasn't the wry look she used.
It wasn't wry. It was a different look.
It was a smug look.
I like it.
Jill's into it.
So this last story.
Sam, stop. We get it. She
was, I didn't even do nothing to him. I've been so nice to him this whole trip.
Sam,
you've been nice.
I have. You called me when it was on the road. Shots
about how you treated us when we had to get up and put the record button. Do you remember that? Do you remember clapping at my cousin? Do you remember a chop chop?
And I quote, chop chop.
You remember any of this? You were nice this whole episode.
It was a joke.
Even after you were the last of those goes, we still
let bygones be bygones.
Oh my god, it happened this episode.
That's still the past.
Too early for bygones.
Too early for bygones.
Yeah, keep the party going.
Exactly. You know, she's been a menace this whole episode.
He's like, you don't get it, cousin. She clapped at you.
But really good opinions. She's actually had really good
really
opinions.
Really good opinions.
Really good opinions. But still a menace. And both can be true.
You know. Yeah,
it's okay.
Can I please read this story?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we just be done?
We can be done.
Am I the asshole?
Wait after Jill.
Am I the asshole for rejecting my friend's request to have an open relationship with my husband?
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, Jill would have definitely heard that.
There's no way she heard
now
that.
Now that you read it, I remember you saying
that. Oh, no,
I do remember that.
That's such a memorable
I remember
style.
The open. Dude, I'm sleepy.
That's crazy. No.
How could you be?
Am I the asshole for rejecting my friend's request to have an open relationship with my husband? I, 30 female, have been married to my husband, 32 male, for 5 years. We have 2 beautiful kids, 5 male and 6 female, and have a very strong relationship and are happy together. Recently, my friend Lisa, 29 female, confided in me that she has developed feelings for my husband. She said that she finds him attractive and admires our relationship and asked if we would consider having an open relationship so she could be with him too. I was shocked and I told her no, explaining that my husband and I are committed to each other and that we're not interested in an open relationship. Lisa got upset and accused me of being selfish and closed-minded.
I beg your pardon?
With your husband.
That was crazy.
She argued that modern relationships should be flexible and I was denying her happiness. Since then, Lisa has been distant and has been spreading rumors in our friend group, suggesting that I am overly possessive and controlling. This has caused a lot of tension, and some of our mutual friends are now taking sides. My husband is supportive of my decision, but I feel guilty for the drama it has caused. So am I the asshole for rejecting my friend's request to have an open relationship with my husband? And then there's an update.
No!
That's the whole story?
No.
Show them the truth! Tell them the truth. I promise you they'll all be on your side.
I'm overly possessive of my husband.
Selfish with my husband.
I don't want him to sleep with someone else. That's being possessive.
Friend, she's got to be spinning lies because there's no way someone's just like, I'm taking her
wrong.
Side. Yeah, no,
like, why wouldn't she let you sleep with her husband?
Yeah, that's horrible. That's they're not progressive at all.
You could be his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, right? Yeah. Shut your...
They don't sound good to do it.
Oh, my God.
No. I think she was already being nice to even, like...
For real.
Say answer
no.
her.
It's yeah, nice like, of her to even like, still actually, consider her a friend after
that's
that.
That's nice to hear, but no, you can't. And then she's like, really? You're like, no, I said
it's,
no.
Yeah, it's really nice of her to respond with words.
Yeah. I would
He's like, you want to do what with my husband?
Wind it up.
Like, friendship immediately. Out the window. No.
Excommunicated.
Wow.
For the audacity.
For real.
Because I was like, how is this even a real person? To even ask that question, to think that that's okay.
It's gotta be. No, this has gotta be a rage bait.
Something.
That has to be a rage bait story.
Weird.
So there is an update. After reading some of your comments, I decided to bring the group out for coffee and tell them all about what Lisa said in the real story. I also showed them the Reddit post. After showing them, there were two girls that were still on Lisa's side. What? So I took some advice from the comments and said, let Lisa fuck your husband. Then you can be on her side. After that, everyone was on my side.
Like, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Now, when you put me in the shoes, it's different.
Lisa wasn't happy at all, and she started ranting about how it wasn't fair. She just wanted to experience something new, and it wasn't even that bad of a request. You're making it such a big deal, okay. Which I didn't get. Me and the rest of the group have officially cut contact with Lisa, good. Just hoping she doesn't try to reach out. We'll update if something happens. Also, just clarifying that Lisa has also asked my husband for an open marriage. He also rejected, saying that even if I was, I would never go out with you.
Stand on business, husband.
I'm for thinking real. Of cutting off the ladies that were on Lisa's side for so long, but I'm not sure if they heard a different story or not. So should I?
No, still cut them off, yeah, too, because off. You took them all the coffee, yeah. And they were still like, well, I don't know.
Kind of.
Yeah, now you.
Like, yeah. You told them the story.
I can't
like,
be caught up with a dumb person like that.
Yeah. Had to tell them, okay, you let her if your husband in, and then they're on your side. No.
You ain't got no shoes for empathy. No. I can't be with you.
Exactly.
Wait, Jill, were you going to tell a story?
No, oh, I forgot it.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, you look like you had something. You like brought your hair. You like,
yeah.
Say something.
Yeah.
You like whispered it too.
I did.
Juicy.
I'm not sure if I feel like the story isn't real though.
It
I don't know.
Seem
yeah,
real.
That's
this is like the one time like, where I'm like, this be, is crazy, right?
I know this stuff happens. Back. Oh, it's back.
Before you had read that update, I was gonna say like, what if the husband had already had something going on with Lisa and Lisa just wanted it to be public now? Mm-hmm. And that's why she felt confident enough to ask her friend, like, hey, can I be in an open relationship with you or cousin?
Oh. This that would have made more sense, I feel like, if
that's
that came out.
That's the side chick trying to, like, I'm trying to be more legitimate.
Yeah.
And who's also interested in the wife, because that's an open relationship.
Well, like she Tyler said Perry to be with husband.
Oh, so yeah, right.
She's
right.
Just saying open, like, I'm going to get with your husband. It's not a three-way thing. It's like, I get on him for a ride, and then you get on for a ride.
And you get the seconds. You get the sloppy seconds, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, okay,
better,
Lisa.
She better get the seconds. I'm married to this man. That's just crazy. If someone came up to me, there's no way.
This ain't real.
Apparently, real. One of the stories that we did that you guys saw like maybe last month, but that we did a few months ago. I'm trying to think of which one it was. I think it was what it was about. But basically people in the comments were saying that, yeah, that the reason why that story sounds so fake is because
it was
fake. Like they deleted their account and nobody could find any other like proof that it was real or something.
It was a story about the guy had made it up.
Oh, and his wife, something about his wife. And
oh, his wife, he had said his wife had, she was pregnant and she was
and she didn't have the baby at the hospital. With,
yeah, and she
didn't come.
Out. Yeah.
Oh.
That doesn't make sense to anybody else. So it was a story about this guy basically saying like his wife just started acting all weird all of a sudden and just kind of became abusive towards him.
Yeah.
And then she ended up having the baby at the hospital and he found out over Facebook. And then she originally blamed it on her mother being like, my mother was just telling lies about you and about men. And it just seeped into my mind. And I'm so sorry. But what the update said was that it was actually she was actually cheating with a coworker.
Yeah.
And the coworker was at the hospital, which is why he couldn't come to the hospital. But then when the coworker who was like on who like showed up on drugs, basically she saw that he was an unfit dad. That's when she like tried to go back to the husband and lie. But apparently you guys were saying that story sounded so crazy because it was fake. So that's what a lot of people are saying, at least underneath the comments, which makes sense because I was like, what is happening in this person's life?
You called her a shitbox.
I did. I'm happy people appreciated that. People were like, I'm calling it shitbox from now on.
Actually, I don't know if it's because of my algorithm on TikTok, because I watch one of the stories that I get so obsessed with is those ads that do dramatizations of like
makeovers?
Of revenge books. Stories.
Yeah.
It's like I'm a rich guy, but no one knows I'm rich and so everyone treats him badly. They're like, you're dumb and stupid and ugly.
Is it
and
with he's the like, black no guy?
There's so many different kinds of versions, but it's like but they're like really a rich person, but no one believes them.
Yeah.
And so it's like them getting pooped on the entire time, and then it finally comes out like, I am rich and I'm getting my revenge.
Yeah.
But they're written so badly. It's written like,
it's hilarious.
It's cringy.
It's hilarious and cringy, but the story of it is also like, I think it's so dumb, like, but I cannot. Even this morning, I was in bed for like probably 20 more minutes because I was just watching one of a. But it was two. It was like the woman was the daughter of the richest man, and she was getting divorced from a guy who didn't know that, and she got married to another guy who's also the richest man in New York. But they were, everyone was hating them. Like, you're not actually him. He's like, wait till you find out that I'm rich. I hate how badly it's written, but I cannot.
Like,
but that's how some of these Reddit stories are written, where you're like, it's such, it's written like, these are not real people. This is not the real emotions or motivations of people, but you just keep, you're like, it is entertaining too.
Jill, thanks for being on.
Of course.
Thanks for letting us take a little bit more of your time than we thought.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome.
Wow.
It is.
Did you think that's
worse.
Paying you progress to me. Say that?
No, it's not. Not progress.
Passive aggressive.
Regression.
I'm just saying that.
No progress.
Before this episode, we were like, who are fan favorites that we think should have an extra episode we were recording here? And Jill was one of those people. And now maybe we should revisit that. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about that after the episode. The energy.
I don't want to talk about anything, actually. Besides Farmville and getting this hot tub, that's the only thing.
Okay, that
and the store. We have to go to the store first.
Yeah.
Please don't keep forgetting that, because I don't want to go to the store either. And
I would love to go to the store.
Josh's supposed to cook burgers tonight.
Okay, can you drive?
Yeah, I'm driving. I'm excited.
Okay. Jazz wants to go, too. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week. Bye! Hey, framing an 8-year-old, you know?
Ew. It sounds like you're happy about it.
I framed an 8-year-old.
Sue me.
Don't. But sue him.
I framed him.
5 new messages. Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.